watching Dr. Dobbs TechCast.
Now that was fairly tepid. I know this audience can do better than that. Good afternoon. That's the kind of spirited energy I want in this audience. My name is John Gallant. I'm the editorial director of Network World, and I'd like to welcome you to our Linux Showdown. I thank you for staying through the day for this event, and I think you'll enjoy it. I want to start off by admitting that I have two strikes against me in this event. The first strike is that I'm a newbie to Linux. I'll be the first to admit that. We at Network World didn't really start covering Linux until it began making inroads into corporate America, where many of our readers are. And the hype really began to grow around Linux. The second is that I'm a journalist, and I have to shoulder at least some of the blame for helping to generate a lot of the hype that's around Linux today. With the news of the many significant partnerships that companies like these have signed with the likes of Intel, Novell, SCO, Oracle, IBM, and other industry giants, and with the spectacular initial public offerings of some of these companies, with all the press and analyst coverage, Linux has really rocketed to the forefront of the hot technology topics. And while I think this has probably generated a lot of heat in the discussion about Linux, it probably hasn't generated very much light and much informative information about Linux and its place in the great computing universe. I think we people who are new to this tend to forget that Linux is not some new phenomenon, but actually the outgrowth of a very long and venerable tradition of open source software development. That's a movement with rich traditions and a great deal of pride. The people in the movement have worked very hard to advance the ideal of open, publicly available software and shared thinking about software. And that Linux has achieved as much as it has to date is a testament to the hard work of many people in that community. Now, I know from my research that the open source community really prides itself on open debate and dialogue, and it's those principles that I want to embrace with this session today. Our goal with the showdown is to showcase some of the top distributors of Linux, to explore their product and business strategies, and to help shed some light for customers on how these companies see Linux playing in a commercial environment. For Network World, this is our 13th showdown debate. We've explored topics ranging from thin clients, network and systems management, layer 3 switching, network operating systems, all sorts of things like that. We find the showdowns to be a very powerful tool for getting to the heart of the technology issues and vendor strategies. Our debate format does not allow for slideware. It's at this point in the presentation that I usually say PowerPoint, but it's just not appropriate here, so I won't go there. And we don't allow for any long-winded speeches. We have direct vendor-specific questions, starting with our panel of experts here, who I'll introduce in a moment, and then direct vendor-to-vendor questioning, where the vendors ask each other questions. And then we take questions from the audience. You'll see some microphones out there, and we'll get to those questions closer to the end of our session. There are time limits on the answers, and we ask follow-up questions if we think someone hasn't gotten to the point. The idea here is to try to strip away marketing rhetoric, to try to strip away some of the hype, and get the people who know the issues to actually ask one another questions in this kind of a format. Our goal is to help customers who are using Linux or thinking of using Linux to understand some of the differences in strategy among the key distributors, to shed light on what these different organizations are thinking and doing. Now, obviously, in a format like this, we can't accommodate all the Linux distributions. I learned yesterday that there's something like 145 distributions, so you can see that we're woefully underrepresented numerically here. However, we started by trying to pick the companies that were leaders in market share and commercial Linux shipments and in visibility. We initially invited Red Hat, Caldera, Turbo Linux, and SUSE, who, according to International Data Corporation, are the leaders in the paid shipments of Linux. Red Hat, the market leader, however, declined our invitation. I was very disappointed in that. To give credit where credit is due, Red Hat has participated in two other showdowns among operating system vendors like Novell, Microsoft, IBM, and SCO. But I was disappointed that they wouldn't join us today. A spokesman for the company said, "We think this distribution versus distribution showdown format is counterproductive to the Linux community and will have the opposite result from the one the organizers are hoping for. Instead of clarifying anything, it will only serve to confuse. We are committed to working with others in the Linux community to grow the market, and a showdown between us makes us seem fragmented and small, end quote. Would all Red Hat representatives in the audience please stand up, the ones who are clapping. Now, I disagree with that wholeheartedly. But again, being a newcomer to the community, I wanted to know if people agreed that people would like to understand the differences between these distributors, the different strategies that they're taking as companies. So I asked the other vendors, and I asked readers to comment, and unanimously people said that they felt this would be a healthy thing. In fact, Turbo Linux, SUSE, and Caldera all rapidly agreed to take part in this showdown, and we thank them for that. With the absence of Red Hat, we asked our readers which other organizations they would like to see at the event, and as a result of their comments, we challenged VA Linux and Walnut Creek CD-ROM to take part. Walnut Creek provides both Slackware and free BSD, which a number of our readers wanted to see represented. I'm happy to say that both of those organizations quickly accepted the challenge, and I thank them for that. So that brings us to today. Before I go over the rules of the event, let me take some time to introduce the people on the panel that you'll be hearing from today. For our panel of questioners, we have, starting closest to me, Bob Brown, the news editor of Network World. And Bob is dressed in a suit. This may be the first time I've seen Bob dressed in a suit. I'm very impressed with that, Bob. April Jacobs, who's a senior editor and news reporter with Network World. April. And Nick Petrelli, who's editorial director of Linux World, which is a great web resource for... It's the Nick Petrelli fan club.
That's my family out there.
I like that. Linux World is a great resource for Linux users and prospective users. Now, we also have an impressive lineup of vendor speakers, and let me go through those. Starting closest to me and moving in alpha company order, we have Ransom Love, president and CEO of Caldera. Next, we have Stefan Wintermeyer, who's president of SUSE. Cliff Miller, CEO of Turbo Linux. Brian Biles, who's vice president of marketing for VA Linux. And Robert Bruce, president and CEO of Walnut Creek. Now, I have to give a special thanks to both Stefan and Brian, who filled in at the last minute. Stefan is filling in for his CEO, who I believe has pneumonia.
Yeah.
And that was his excuse, pneumonia?
Yeah.
All right. And also Brian. There was an emergency with Larry Augustin of VA Linux, and Brian has stepped in. So I thank them both. However, now they're on their own. So let me explain to you how this is going to work. First, we're going to have 90-second opening statements by each of the vendors. We have a timer up here. I've asked the vendors to keep tabs on that to make sure they stay within our time limits. Then our panel of experts will ask questions of individual vendors. The vendors have 90 seconds to answer the question. If a follow-up question is necessary to clarify, the vendor has 45 seconds to answer that question. Please keep note of the time on the light up there. Then we'll move to the portion where the vendors ask each other questions. Same rules, 90-second answers, 45-second answers to a follow-up question. Then we'll take questions from the audience, from the microphones that you see out there. And then we will have summary statements from our panel of experts, and I'll let you all go home. So, without any further ado, let's get started. Ransom, your opening statement, please.
Great. It's good to be here. Caldera Systems is all about providing Linux for e-business. We believe that the hottest space for Linux in the commercial market is in this post-PC era or PC Plus era, where we're seeing the Internet break up the servers and the specialized components and the clients and the specialized devices. And we think Linux is going to play a predominant role in that space to extend what we feel is the e-business infrastructure moving forward. We think Linux, to be successful there, must be a product, not just a group of a collection of neat technologies, but it has to be productized, and there are different market segments, for example, a desktop focus versus a server focus, different hardware, different components that have to be addressed, and you can't have all things for all things in a single box when it applies to business in this commercial space. The importance of matching source then with binaries and creating a comprehensive product that's the best of breed is very important. We call that self-hosting, and Phil, that's key as we move forward in that space. Also, it has to be a complete product. which includes when you deliver to business, you need to be able to support it. Having independent support organizations that don't necessarily ensure the business owner of patches and fixes being enhanced in that product moving forward, the business needs a complete solution. And they need education. And those are all key areas that we're focusing on. The hottest, one of the key elements for success for Linux is in standards. We have to implement Linux standard base. It's critical for ISV's support of Linux, especially as we move forward. It's critical in the area of education and the LPI certification for education. I think it's critical for businesses' adoption. Now, the hottest solution on top of Linux is e-commerce. And when we talk about e-commerce, what we need, Linux is not going to replace everything. We think it will eventually, but not for some time. And thus, we have to integrate with existing legacy systems like Windows. And thus, announcements like SCO's Tarantella and...
That's time, Ransom.
Okay, very good.
Great.
Are important.
Thank you. All right, that's enough of that. Stefan, Sousa's opening remarks, please.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Actually, I just arrived today. I'm a little bit tired. In Germany, it's some 1 or 2 o'clock a.m. So I try to do my best. I'm not a PR guy, so I don't care what kind of Linux you're using. The main thing is you're using Linux. I think SUSE Linux is the best one, but it's normal. Okay, let me tell you something about SUSE. We are currently shipping version 6.3. We are in Europe the number one distribution. We are second in revenues worldwide. We had a growing of revenues of 350% last year. We have a whole bunch of applications on our CDs. The Intel CD has some 1,500 applications. The Alpha one has 1,200. So if you need anything, you find it on a SUSE Linux.
Thank you, Stefan. Cliff and Robert, your signs have fallen down. And I want you to know that that's no indication. You can just lean them against the front of your podium would probably be your best bet. Certainly no indication of how Network World feels about your organizations. We're having a significant tape issue today. Cliff, it's your turn for the opening remarks for Turbo Linux.
Do I get the last 15 seconds of Stefan? Anyhow.
That's precision engineering. That's your own.
Okay, well, I'm Cliff Miller of Turbo Linux. We are a software development company headquartered in San Francisco, but we're also a very internationally minded company with offices around the world, in particular in Tokyo, Beijing, Sydney, and many more to come. The difference between Turbo Linux and some of the other Linux companies, I believe, is in our focus on software development and in our business model, the way we approach business itself. Having said that, we are very committed to the open source development model, and I believe it's important for us and as a Linux company to remember that over 90% of our product is actually made by the Linux development community, not in-house. And that's inherent in the Linux business. We can't forget that. So there has to be some give and take. Anyhow, our business model does take open source software, Turbo Linux, and integrates commercial software such as middleware from IBM, commercial software from SendMail, and so on, and produces a product that combines the two. We are focused very much on clustering and the server market, and we are also experts in internationalization and the
That's
Asian
time, Cliff.
Language markets. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, Brian for VA Linux.
Thanks a lot. First of all, thanks for having us. We we don't exactly fit the original format, and I'll be challenging all the vendors to talk about their hardware strategies. So, one thing that we do that may make us fit, we're the leading commercial packager for retail of the Debian distribution. I'll be happy to take questions about Debian, but anyone with a title of VP of marketing might have an awkward situation answering those completely. Our business model is somewhat different than most of the other people on the stage. We are a Linux and open source solutions company. We sell systems that are pre-installed with Linux and open source. Typically, these are rack mount servers aimed at the internet infrastructure and scientific technical computing markets, designed around co-location facilities. We were the project manager on the Trillion project for Intel to work with a lot of different vendors to bring the to bring Linux to IA64. In software, we have a large number of open source luminaries on our staff who not only work on open source projects but also work for customers on a professional services basis. In our services area, not only do we do customer installations, but we also do we help large companies get into the open source world. We announced, for example, last week an agreement with Hewlett Packard to help their printer software move in that direction. In the web, we maintain, own and operate Linux.com as well.
That's
as
our time, Brian.
SourceForge. Thank you.
Okay. So three of our four have already pushed the time limit, so I'm going to have to train them to work on that light.
I'll keep an eye on that light.
Robert, do you think you can bring us back here?
I'll try to talk fast.
Robert with Walnut Creek.
Yeah, Walnut Creek was founded in 1991, and we've been publishing open source software since then. We started publishing Linux software in 1992. Today we have two flagship open source products. The first is the Slackware Linux product. It was the most popular of the early Linux distributions. It's tailored to the technical user, and our goal with Slackware is to keep it simple, clean, and flexible. Because you know it is focused on the technical user. Our other product is FreeBSD, which is a rock-solid operating system based on Berkeley Unix. It is compatible with Linux and runs Linux binaries. So on the desktop, it gives a very similar experience to what you get with Linux. But FreeBSD is mainly known as a high-reliability server operating system. Of the top sites on the Internet, about 20% of them use FreeBSD as their primary or exclusive operating system. And some of these sites include Yahoo and Broadcast.com, Hotmail, Link Exchange, InfoSeek, and the UUNET division of MCI WorldCom, and many others. On the desktop, we're working with Apple Computer. They're going to be basing their new OS X on FreeBSD. So before the end of the year, hopefully that'll put us on about 10 million new desktops. In the embedded system market, FreeBSD is very widely used in internet appliances and other embedded systems. We're used by IBM and their Whistle Interjet. We're used by Intel and their storage station. We're also used by Juniper Networks and Maxtor, Nokia, and many others. In addition to...
That's
to
time, Robert.
Okay.
Okay. That is the last portion where the vendors control what they say about their companies. So now we move on to the questions. I thank you all for your opening statements. Bob Brown, the field is open to you. You may ask a question of anyone you like. I'm sorry.
I can ditch the red hat question?
You can ditch the red hat question.
All right.
It was very dramatic, Bob. suggestion, when you're answering the question, please speak into the mic as opposed to facing the questioner so that everyone can hear you. Thank you.
Okay. I'll throw out the first question to Brian from VA. Turbo Linux offers clustering technology that works across various operating systems. I'm wondering if VA has plans to extend its clustering technology to work beyond Linux?
Well, in clustering technology, we have done two different things. Externally, of course, we work with a lot of different vendors, such as F5 Labs, Resonate, commercial vendors who provide load balancing around internet clusters. Our systems include not only high-density rack-mount servers, but also software that facilitates management of clusters as an open-source project. We have a project called VACM, the VA Cluster Manager, that is hosted on SourceForge, by the way, that is a multi-vendor project to increase the manageability of clustered systems, allowing software that's run remotely to power on, power off, change BIOS settings, and so on, where prior to that you had to get a KVM switch and monitors that were inside the server room. That's all open source and multi-vendor. We also contribute to projects that include the patches to the Linux kernel to do load balancing. We're working with the grid team in the supercomputer area to help facilitate multi-vendor cooperation around access to supercomputing labs from around the internet. We do quite a lot, and all of it's open source and all of it's multi-vendor.
Bob, do you need a follow-up?
No, that's fine.
Okay, great. April, you may ask a question of anyone but VA Linux.
Sure. My question is for Ransom Love at Caldera. When Red Hat went public, some industry observers questioned whether they would be able to maintain the same open source momentum given their new focus on pleasing their investors. I'm just wondering how Caldera will deal with this issue.
Well, Caldera has always been a believer in providing the best of breed open source and commercial products to provide the best business solution. So we don't really straddle. We have contributed significantly back. Our Lizard ease of use, we make Linux now available for the grandmothers of the world. That's not really true, but we did publish. I was corrected this morning. His grandmother does use it. But we do contribute a majority of those infrastructure components back to the open source community to move that forward. But we have always embraced relationships with providing commercial solutions on top. It's a good balance. The cathedral and the bazaar, as Eric Raymond says, are important aspects in delivering business solutions to the customer.
April, any follow-up?
I don't think so.
Okay, great. Nick, you may ask a question of anyone but Ransom or Brian.
Right, I'll ask our CEO from Turbo Linux. The word on the street is that your clustering solution contains proprietary software, which is one of the reasons why some other distributions will not adopt it. Could you either set me straight on that error, if it's an error, or explain why you chose a proprietary solution for a Linux cluster?
I think that there's been some misunderstanding as to how we've been developing and what our intentions are for our Turbo Cluster server product. There are several components of it. If we simplify the picture, there are basically three. We have the Linux kernel patch. We have management and installation tools. And then we have a daemon that runs in the background on each node, checking to see if the other nodes are up or not. The kernel patch is obviously GPL'd. And the management installation software is also open source GPL. The daemon we've decided to deploy or to use a particular licensing model by which when we release the product for 6 months, that part will remain closed, after which we will open it. So it will go into the open source community. This model, we believe, is a good compromise, and it allows us to be a viable business with a six-month edge. That's not a long time, so it also does give us a kick in the pants. After 6 months, we need to make sure
that's
we're
time, Cliff,
on top of things.
Follow-up, Nick?
Yeah. It's a related follow-up, and that is there seems to be so much confusion about what clustering really is. There's so many things people call clustering. Can you just briefly clarify what, whether it's availability, high availability, load balancing, distributed processing, and where you fit in that scale?
Sure. There are a few different types of clustering. If we divide the world simplistically, there's Beowulf-type scientific distributed parallel computing with clustering. And then on the other side, there's the high-availability server farm clustering. We do both. Turbo Cluster Server is a high-availability clustering. And By the way, it got best web solution at Comdex. Little plug there. But then we're just releasing Enfusion, which is the other type, Beowulf-type parallel computing, distributed computing, scientific computing clustering, which is another product line.
Okay, great. And just again, a reminder to speak into the mic and out to the audience so that everyone can hear you on that. Thank you, Nick, and thank you, Cliff. Bob, we're back to you, and you may ask a question of SUSE or Walnut Creek.
I have a question for Walnut Creek. Although Walnut Creek has been around, probably been around longer than the other Linux companies up on our panel today, it's probably still the least well-known, at least the name, Walnut Creek. I'm wondering how the company plans to increase its mind share now that the market's getting so competitive.
Okay, I think that we are probably the least well-known, but I think that part of that is because a lot of the things we do are of more behind the scenes nature than the other companies. I think that if you just look at a list of who our customers are and the people that use our software, we're not as visible as the others, but we are there. Every time somebody goes to Yahoo, for instance, and clicks on their web pages, it is a FreeBSD server that is behind that. So, you know, we're not as visible because we're more, you know, just behind the scenes and serving the type of market, serving that type of market. But another thing is that because of the Linux buzz, companies have a lot of incentive to publicize the fact that they're using Linux. But with FreeBSD, there's not as much of an incentive to do that. So a lot of the companies that are using FreeBSD don't really make a big deal of it, and they don't publicize it.
Bob, any follow-up?
I could use some clarification. Is Walnut Creek actually going to try to increase its mind share in any way? Do you feel the pressure to do it?
Yes, we're definitely feeling the pressure to do that, and that's one of the reasons I'm up here speaking today. I think that you're going to see a lot more. I think that, you know, if you go up to the show floor here, you'll see a much bigger presence for our. We actually have two booths here, and I think you'll see a lot more presence from us in the future.
I think Bob's real question is, can you get us some stock options? I think was what he was driving at there. Now, Stefan, I know you've been eagerly awaiting your question.
Yes.
So, April, take it away.
Stefan, I was just wondering if you could tell me, does your company's service and support structure provide resources for third-party applications and or custom applications?
I didn't get it.
April, could you speak into the microphone?
I'm sorry. I'm wondering if your company's service and support structure provides resources for third-party applications and or custom application development. And I'm looking for specifically that which would be aimed at corporate IT needs.
Actually, I didn't get to the question, sorry.
April, could you clarify the question?
Yes. I'm just wondering if you actually provide service and support for any third-party applications, or if any of your customers wanted to do custom application development, you know, could you accommodate that? You know, and if not, do you have any plans to do that?
I'm not sure about the question, but we do have support for third-party software, for example, for WeShop or any other e-commerce solutions. Of course, we have, for example, deals with Compaq, where we give them third-level support. We just announced it today. Is this the answer to the question?
Yes.
Cool.
Any follow-up, April?
Actually, you know, I was just wondering, I wanted some clarification as to whether or not you're going to extend to any of the vertical markets, support for any vertical market application development?
Support is, of course, is one of our future markets, and I guess we are known in Europe and I guess in the US for one of the best support companies. Have a look on our webpage. It just gives you an impression how keen we are on giving people good support, whatever kind of support.
Okay. Nick, we're on to you, and the whole panel's open. They've all had one question. They're veterans now, so you can pick and choose. Who are you going to ask?
Actually, I'm going to
leave this. This is a general question. And I'll let anyone who wants to
Nick, we need a specific question to a specific vendor.
Okay, so I'll pick Ransom Love then. Ransom, you're familiar with the cartoon Dilbert?
Yes, sir.
Pretend for a moment that I'm a Dilbertian pointy-haired boss. I manage my magazine, not terribly technical. And I'm going to think aloud here for a minute, because Sun just threw a potential monkey wrench into the Linux bandwagon. I've got Solaris is nearly free now. It's open source not in the true open source sense, but as far as I'm concerned, since I'm a PHB, I don't know the difference. And the improvements to Solaris are managed by a team of professionals that are backed by a big company. Linux is nearly free. It's open source. And improvements to Linux are managed by unemployed hobbyists and a few people who could get hit by a bus. So explain to me, why would I choose Linux instead of something like Solaris?
Well, number one, I think that Linux is a product developed on the Internet, for the Internet, by the Internet. And thus, as we move into this area of specialized Internet solutions, it is highly optimized and moves at Internet speeds. IPv6 and other technologies are already integrated there. But with the industry embracing from all the major vendors, it's not just the Linux companies you see here, but it's major announcements from all of the players. Linux provides that level playing field that allows everybody to collaborate. Even major competitors are now able to collaborate when it comes to the Linux platform. So I think what it provides is not only the ideal operating system for its time and for where we're at in the industry, but it adds this collaborative opportunities for us to solve many of the industry problems because we work together, but we also work with all of the major suppliers because there's no threat of one company taking away and gaining an advantage over the other. It is more of a collaborative effort. The announcement today from Trillian, from Intel, was a very good example of all of the players collaborating on delivering, you know, the IA64 port of Linux. And I think that's a very significant step forward, and it's a change in the way we think within this industry.
Right on the money time-wise. Nick, do you need a follow-up to that?
Yes, I have a follow-up. I understand your answer. What might throw a monkey wrench into that is, isn't it inevitable that at some point or another, SUSE and Turbo Linux are going to become your enemies, and you're going to have to differentiate your product in such a way that you're no longer collaborating, and therefore the model breaks down?
Well, I think the market is very large and expanding beyond what we even see today. And so there are many areas where we can all focus without necessarily being right at each other's throats, okay? And consequently, I think the opportunity for coopetition is still very, very strong within Linux. The base we collaborate on, standards we collaborate on, and then we can provide services or target markets, target focuses, you know, as we are, you know, focusing in that Linux for e-business, those are key areas that aren't competing necessarily on today. So I think that's kind of the answer to the question. I think it's a big market and there's tremendous opportunity to grow the markets. Markets like
time,
China.
Ransom. Okay, Bob, back to you. Anybody but Ransom, you may ask a question of.
I have a question for Cliff from Turbo Linux. Well, some of the other Linux companies have been beefing up their internal service and support organizations. Turbo Linux seems to be relying more on partners, and I'd like an explanation of what's behind that idea.
Yeah, our business strategy is rather different there. As I mentioned before, we are a software development company, and so we do sell software and get our margins off of value-added software. We integrate commercial software with Linux and sell it into the enterprise, especially server software. Support and services is an area that requires, I believe, a very strong infrastructure, and I don't think that anybody here can claim that they're a big company yet. 200 people, 300 people, but certainly not several thousand people around the world. And so we have chosen to partner with IBM Global Services, HP, SCO, and so on to provide our customers with a service that will be uniform around the world. And our customers are certainly welcome to come to us. We do provide support and services if they request it that way, but they also have the opportunity, if they have just bought a Netfinity from IBM, for example, they may well feel more comfortable calling up their IBM rep that they've dealt with for many years. But we give them a choice, which is the Linux way.
Okay. Bob, any follow-up?
That's fine, thanks.
Okay. April, you may ask a question of SUSE, VA Linux, or Walnut Creek.
I think my question is going to be for Brian at VA. You know, it's pretty commonly accepted, I would think, that clustering technology is emerging as key for companies running web-based applications. Does VA have any plans to tailor its clustering efforts for such apps?
So as Cliff was saying, there are multiple types of clustering. Our VA Cluster Manager management application is suitable for co-location environments as well as high-performance computing environments. In either case, you're managing large numbers of small systems and you want to do it remotely. In other areas, such as load balancing across multiple web servers, we've been contributing to a series of efforts in the open source environment. One, I believe, is called Varmon. There's another one that's an enhanced patch for the kernel to do load balancing. Some of which we had to do as we started doing websites like SourceForge. They're just getting enormous traffic. So that the open source environment is enriched with as many options as possible to do not only web server farms, but compile farms and high-performance computing clusters.
Okay. April, any follow-up?
I'm wondering if you could be a little bit more specific in terms of how much of a priority it is for you.
Well over 80% of our business is in selling systems to high-density rack mount customer situations, either in website, internet infrastructure environments, or in scientific environments. So in virtually all of those, there are a couple common characteristics. One is small format, high-density systems, and we've pioneered a couple of approaches there that have enabled us to, in, for example, the 2U space, have the most disk drives and the most memory of anyone with any OS. In the software area, all of those customers share some common characteristics, including manageability. So we've focused first on that, and we're focusing second on things that are market-specific, such as load balancing.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. All right, Nick, Stefan or Robert, eagerly await your query.
Robert. I've used FreeBSD. I love it. I know just about everybody I know who uses FreeBSD loves it. So why are we doing this at Linux World and not FreeBSD World?
Well, I think that we did actually have a FreeBSD con in Berkeley last October, but the FreeBSD community is small enough that I don't think that there's really. We don't get a lot of leverage there, and our reason for showing up at LinuxCon is I think that the people that run Linux need to know about FreeBSD. You know, it is fully compatible with Linux. It runs Linux binaries, and I think it's just a great alternative for Linux. And there's a lot of reasons to use one, but then there's also a lot of reasons to use the other. And I think that people should have that information.
Okay. Nick, any follow-up?
Yeah, I need to challenge you on that because OS2, you know, was fully compatible with 16-bit Windows, and that was probably did more harm than good. Do you see the same problem with Linux compatibility on FreeBSD?
No, I don't see that at all. Linux is open source. They can't control our access to their API. And Microsoft used, what I consider pretty anti-competitive practices and used their proprietary control over that API to destroy OS2. And that can't happen in an open source project. I mean, you know, the whole motto of open source is the best code wins. And I'm not saying that we have the best code, but I think that will happen in the end. And there's also a lot of cross-fertilizations of ideas between the two projects. When Linux writes a driver, you know, somebody writes a new driver for a particular piece of hardware for Linux, we can go in and read that driver and find out exactly, you know, how they did it, how they used the different registers, and write a driver for FreeBSD very quickly, and that works the other way around. If we do it first, they can borrow our code.
Okay, thank you, Robert. Bob, you have the honor of asking the last question before the vendors begin asking each other questions. So your question goes, not surprisingly, to Stefan of SUSE.
Okay. There are a number of secure Linux development efforts underway with names such as Chaos and Bastille, and I'm curious if SUSE plans to incorporate any of these technologies into its products, or if it has anything being developed internally that would help to improve the security of SUSE's products.
You're asking for a firewall solution, or what kind of?
I'm asking whether you're specifically planning to incorporate any of these technologies, such as the ones I mentioned, such as Chaos or Bastille, or if you have something in the works internally to really boost the security of the SUSE software.
Actually, our distribution is kind of secure if you set it up right. So we have the tools. You have to read the manuals.
Bob, I believe that Stefan has put the ball back in your court with that.
Just have a look at /user/doc how to EN firewall something.
Follow up, Bob?
I'm sorry, I couldn't.
We're having some trouble hearing you, Stefan. What was your other answer there? Bob, do you have a follow up to that?
I'm baffled.
All right, let's move on. Let me tell you quickly how this will work. Ransom, we're going to start with you. You have the whole floor open before you, and I'll make sure that everybody asks and answers the same number of questions. Just one note, Robert, when we get down to you, because the field will have been limited by the time we get down to you, I'll come back this way so that you have the field open. So you'll get two questions in a row there. Again, vendor-specific questions, please. So, Ransom, who are you going to ask?
Wow. Fun. I think I'll just start from the top of the list and work down. Suze, this isn't so much, it's just how important is the Linux standard base in their opinion, and what would they suggest to strengthen the LSB image or to promote the LSB label trademark, and what actions do they plan to take here?
It's important. It's just important. That's it. We are very keen on the LSB standard, and we are pushing it as much as we can. There are a couple of other guys who don't want it, but we do.
Ransom, are you satisfied with the answer? Final answer?
The one aspect of that is what does SUSE plan to do then to help promote that moving forward? I think that's a key aspect of that.
Stefan, I believe
we are just pushing it. We are at every meeting. We are just giving improvements to the standard, or we are changing our whole distribution to it. So isn't that enough?
That was the answer.
That they're changing their whole distribution.
Not the whole one, of course.
Okay, Stefan. Now it's up to you. You may ask anyone but yourself a question. You know, I never fail to get a laugh with that one, and I'll try it a couple more times today.
Okay, Ransom. we had so much fun today.
Yeah. I want to hire his grandma.
Yeah.
Hey, you're stealing that.
I know.
That's the Linux way, right?
That's right. Reusable lines.
Okay, right, settle down up there.
What are your plans about localization and globalization of your distribution?
I'm glad you asked that. Clearly,
we
thank you. No, we just released our both Open Linux and eServer products in Japanese in the Japanese markets, and had a major announcement there with Fujitsu, who's bundling it on their hardware platforms And we're excited about that. Our Open Linux product currently ships in German, French, Italian, and Japanese now. Our intent moving forward is to collaborate on the internationalization efforts significantly with all of the other vendors to more fully internationalize Linux. It's very important to release products, frankly, in all markets within the language environments that are there. Not only the Linux products themselves, but also education and solutions there. So you'll see us moving forward in all major markets around the globe.
Okay. Stefan, did you want to ask a follow-up?
Nope.
Okay, great. On to you, Cliff. You may ask, leaving aside the two gentlemen to your right, you may ask the two gentlemen to your left. Either one.
Okay, this question is for Brian. And VA has recently gone public, and I'm wondering if you could tell us what went on from a company culture standpoint, you know, before and after you're going public. And if you could give us, you know, kind of the good aspects and also the maybe more challenging ones, I think it'd be interesting.
Same old, same old.
I haven't been through that, so I don't know what that means.
You know, fundamentally, the company is driven by open source and projects and products and so on. So everyone tried to stay very focused, but we didn't expect to set a record. So the day of the day of the event, you know, people would walk into meetings and say it just opened at the following, and you know, conversation would stop for about 10 minutes, and people would have to catch their breath. From a company culture standpoint, nothing really changed before or after, because again, everybody's still, you know, monitoring Slashdot, finding out what else is going on in the world. Everybody's still contributing code to projects. Everybody's still out talking to customers, and there really just isn't time to deal with something that's so external and which actually takes a fairly long time to affect anybody in a personal financial way. So it's an unusual kind of event. I don't know if I could predict how anyone else would feel, you know, coming out
that's
of this
time,
in a particular
Brian.
Way.
Brian, before I let Cliff ask a follow-up, if he wants to, I have to say I was in the speaker room and I ran into a couple of your folks who were telling me about going out to eat caviar last night. So I don't know, were you doing that before the event? Cliff, do you have a follow-up question?
I do, actually. There are probably similar characteristics with any software company that goes public, but I think Linux is actually very special in the sense that it is a community event or movement that is getting you and us into the limelight. And maybe phrasing it this way, how is the perception changing from the outside? How are people treating you differently from the Linux community? And how do you deal with that?
They ask questions like yours. aside from that, community people that work on open source projects are fundamentally interested in the project. So, we definitely had an effect in sudden recognition of our corporate name that we just didn't have before. That would have been hard. We went from, maybe a dozen press mentions a week to about 2,000 in 2 days, which was, my mom and her friends had heard of my company for the first time. But from a working standpoint, if you look around, project sites on the internet, people are about great code and about reaching, satisfaction on the project. In Apache, when IBM started contributing, it didn't change Apache.
Okay, great. Can I go out to dinner with you tonight? It's your turn, Brian, and I believe that you have either Cliff or Robert to ask a question of.
Robert, do you think Slackware has a branding problem?
Okay, I think that there's some confusion about Slackware because we're a company, you know, the name of our company isn't Slackware Linux Incorporated, it's Walnut Creek CD-ROM. So the difference between, you know, the name of our company and the name of our product does lead to some confusion, plus the fact that we have more than one product. You know, I think that there's a little bit of a branding problem because of that, but I also, a large part of that is because Slackware really focuses on a different market. Linuxtopia had an article on Slackware, you know, our new Slackware 7 release, and one of the things that they mentioned that I think kind of hits the nail on the head is that there's really two distributions out there. There's Slackware and then there's everything else, because Slackware tends to be the most different. It tends to be the most Unix-like. I think it's the most focused on the technical user rather than the mass market. And, you know, we just focus on being simple, clean, and flexible with distribution. And LinuxCare ran a poll last fall asking people how satisfied they are with their distribution. And Slackware came out number one on that. So I think that, you know, although we're not going after the mass market, the people we are going after are very happy with it.
Brian, any follow-up to that?
No.
Okay, great. Robert, we're down to you, and the one person who has not asked answered a question, I'm sorry, is Cliff with Turbo Linux.
Okay, the question I'd like to ask is that as Linux becomes more commercial, there's a lot of large corporations forming to market Linux, and we're moving away from the old model where we used to have a lot of volunteer projects out there where people were pretty much working on their own time. And a lot of those people that used to work in those projects are now being hired by these companies. And I know that your company has hired some key people out of the free software community, such as, you know, some people from the Samba project and I believe the Beowulf project. But as that process happens, what kind of problems do you see coming up or conflicts? I mean, are these organizations still going to be able to maintain their independence? No, it's for Cliff.
It's for Cliff.
I can't put my finger on any big problems, but there certainly are, you know, changes. It used to be, as you point out, that people would be working on these projects solely on a volunteer basis, and they would be paid in ego bucks. And so, you know, your name gets in the kernel, and all of a sudden, a whole bunch of other programmers know who you are, and you're sort of a star. And people really, a lot of people really do thrive on that. But I think it's now that there's been so much attention focused on Linux, and companies are raising money, and they're going public, and so on, that ego bucks are no longer enough for many people, and so it does serve the interests of these programmers who've been putting in a lot of effort to get paid in some form or other. Now, I believe that there is some there are some people in the community that do feel everything should remain free, meaning two things. But I think that we're dealing with it pretty well.
Robert, any follow-up?
No.
Okay. Robert, we're starting with you again, and we're going to go through one more round of vendor questions, then we're going to take audience questions. You have the floor open to you, Robert.
I'd like to ask Brian of VA Linux a question. What I'd like to ask is that I know that you can buy VA Linux hardware with any Linux distribution pre-installed on it. But the question I have is that considering FreeBSD's reputation as a open source operating system and as a server operating system, and also considering that some of your biggest customers, including Star Media, have publicly stated that they are buying VA hardware to run FreeBSD on it, do you have any plans to offer FreeBSD as a supported and pre-installed operating system?
Well, I guess first that I was pleased to see that they were happy with our systems.
Actually, they have very good things to say about them.
No, we've been a Linux company for a long time, and the Linux opportunity is just a huge and growing space of demand, so we're focused on that. It's in the same way, we don't have any particular religious or contractual bias for Intel-based systems. Historically, we've done Alpha, but Linux on Intel is just a huge and growing market. We can't get to the end of the demand for that. So it's much easier as a corporation for us to focus right now.
Robert, any follow-up?
What would it take to change your mind?
What did Linus say this morning about the difference between BSD and Linux? That it was it's not just about technology; it's about the community and the methodology of its growth. When you know, Linux doesn't seem to be slowing down, and it's much easier for us to focus there. If all of a sudden things change, you know, we could open the question. But right now, we've always been a Linux company. We intend to be a Linux company.
Okay, great. Brian, we're to you, and as luck would have it, the whole field is open to you.
Let me ask Ransom, if IDC measures success in Linux operating systems, they tend to look at Red Hat and all of the Red Hat clones and count all of that as a collective weight of unit volume. One of the things that Pure Open Source does is allow market development to happen through, you know, downloads of software that you can pilot. In some of the things that you do, you don't follow that model. Do you feel that that's hurt your perception of success?
Well, I think first of all, we do. I mean, our Open Linux product is fully downloadable, and so is our eServer product off of the website. Again, frankly, the self-hosted model, I think, actually lends itself for these vendors to optimize and recompile a comprehensive product on their platforms. And we've got a number of announcements that have come out. Even IBM today announced that they're pre-bundling Open Linux on the Netfinity series. So from a commercial perspective, it has not. But I think there's a misconception there, because we do offer it, and we'll continue to encourage that as we contribute more and more technology back to the open source. We have an open source site also available in Germany with a partnership with the University of Erlangen, which is openlinux.org. And we're putting a lot of our technologies there, and there are many more to come to make that a little bit more accessible worldwide. So we are moving forward in providing and enhancing that area, and we'll continue to do so.
Brian, you satisfied with the answer? Okay. Cliff, we're on to you, and you may ask anyone but Brian or Ransom a question.
Okay, my question, who do I get a choice of?
Well, leaving aside the person to your left and Ransom, so you may ask Robert or Stefan a question.
Okay, I'll ask Stefan. I think there's been a focus by the major Linux OS companies to concentrate on the U.S., North American market, as well as the European market, and then we certainly are very strong in Asia, but what is SUSE's strategy for, I guess, developing countries for...
As you might have seen in our press announcements in the past, that we are just opening offices in a whole bunch of different countries. We have now, of course, we are a European-based distribution. We start to go there first. But our Oakland office is there since a couple of years. And we are just starting new branches and new offices nearly anywhere. If you want, I can put you up on our mailing list for the press releases and you're up to date.
Sure, why don't you put me on your internal sales mailing list? That would be nice. No, actually, a follow-up question is,
please.
What market do you consider to be the most important for you going forward in the next two or three years?
2 or 3 years. Jesus. I don't know. You know, I can answer you for the next 6 months. Europe and U.S.
Succinct and to the point. I like that. All right, Stefan, you may ask Cliff or Robert a question.
Who's who? I'm Cliff. Oh, Cliff, here. What is your support strategy in the future?
Well, our support strategy, I guess let me just preface it by saying what it is now, where we do partner with global companies to provide it worldwide. We also do provide support directly to our customers. In the future, I believe we'll continue to do this. I don't think it will change dramatically over the next 6 months.
Okay. Stefan, you satisfied with that? All right, and finally, before we go to a couple audience questions, Ransom, meet Robert.
Robert, I have you've mentioned a lot about your positioning and success with FreeBSD, but there seems to be almost a little less emphasis on your Linux side. I'm just curious, what do you see the future of Linux, within Walnut Creek and in general, and where do you see Walnut Creek kind of focusing in on and capitalizing on in the Linux space particularly?
Okay, let me think about this for a bit. We are focusing more on FreeBSD right now, but we continue to focus a lot on Slackware as well. A little bit of that, the history behind that is that we worked with FreeBSD earlier, and the head of the FreeBSD project, Jordan Hubbard, and the head of the Slackware project, Patrick Volkerdien, are and continue to be very good friends. And so when Patrick was looking for somebody to publish and commercialize Slackware, Jordan introduced him to me. And so we've been working with FreeBSD longer, and it's got a really good niche, and it's doing really well for us. But both Slackware and FreeBSD support the Linux standard base that you brought up before. You know, even though FreeBSD has a different kernel, its Linux compatibility makes it so that it does support that base. Also, as I mentioned before, there's a lot of cross-flow of ideas between the BSD community and the Linux community, and we probably benefit more than anybody else because we're right at the juncture where those two communities meet. So I think that...
That's time, Robert.
Okay.
Okay. Ransom, follow-up?
No, that's fine.
Okay, we are almost done here. I know that it's been a long session and many of you have places to go, but I do want to get a couple questions from the audience. Anyone have a question? There are microphones right here if you want to go up. Do we have someone coming up? And remember, your question, Pete, should be directed at a specific vendor, please. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to preface this just real briefly by saying that...
Is this a speech?
Earlier there was a mention of Bastille Linux, and all the distributions recently have improved their security vastly. That's the good news. The bad news is they needed it. Addressing VA Linux, how are you looking at hardened security systems and improving the security overall on an ongoing basis, particularly since you're not renowned for being a particular distribution?
Okay.
One of our people, Ben Woodard, who I think came to fame from the Cisco Enterprise Print System, has also been involved in a project that we were asked by a university to establish a more security in a custom distribution for them, which resulted in him getting involved with a large network of people. This has turned into the Bastille distribution. If you go to sourceforge.net, you can see the progress on that. Ben is leading that effort, and we're putting a lot of his time into making sure that as he works with that now several hundred person community integrating with groups like the SANS Institute and various universities and so on, that we can bring in all those developments into open source and into that project as quickly as we can.
Let me get to you for a follow-up, but Cheryl, let's do 30 seconds on the timing of these answers. Did you have a follow-up? Was that answered adequately?
That was fine, thank you.
Thank you for your question. Gentleman at the back mic, first person at the back mic there.
Yes, this question is for Ransom Love. I'm wondering how your distribution handles the export compliance problem with the encryption code in the Linux sources. And even though the government has a draft out now with their revised plan, it's not a law yet. It's not a regulation yet. So how are you handling that?
Currently, obviously, we're having to comply. We're very, very excited about the draft, frankly. I think it will help not only Linux, but all U.S.-based software providers as we change those laws to make it more effective for us to deploy commercial solutions that are secure solutions worldwide. Currently, we do offer and we'll continue to offer additional ways of providing enhanced security, probably from downloads, possibly in Europe and other sites that we now have set up as we expand. But clearly, we're anxious to see the laws change and also patents expire and a few other things.
Okay. Did you have a follow-up? Are you clear on that?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. A question, a gentleman up here at the front, Mike.
Yeah, my question is for VA Linux. I was wondering, out of all the distributions that you evaluated when you first were stepping into the business, what led you to arrive at Debian as the de facto distribution for your systems?
Let me clear up a misconception. So we package Debian as a commercial retail product with the support of SGI and O'Reilly in order to accelerate its availability into the commercial world. Part of the reason for doing that was so that Debian...
It's only appropriate, Brian. Yours was the last one that had not come down.
Part of the reason was that we wanted Debian to be available as a standard installation for our systems, but currently it's not. The first thing that we had to get through was improving some of its documentation. The commercial retail product has much better documentation than I think it's had before, but it still needs some more. We're also going through some just adaptation issues to make sure that it runs well on our systems.
That's time, Brian. Here. Okay. Do we have a follow-up to that? Was that question answered adequately?
Clear as to why they arrived to Debian. I don't think he was finished, really.
Just one more.
Go ahead.
The default load on our systems is Red Hat, actually. We make available, we've partnered with SUSE. We plan to make that available later in the year, Debian later in the year. And on a custom basis, we'll do whatever makes sense. A lot of our customers actually are fairly neutral about distributions and optimize with particular loads that leave out a lot of things or add particular other custom project issues.
Okay, great. Thanks for the question. We're going to take three more questions. Is there a mic over there? Is that where you're standing there?
Hello, 1, 2, 3. Okay. Yes, I have a question. This is actually for all of you, but I have to direct it to somebody.
For so the interest of time, we need to speak with specific vendors.
So the question is to Cliff. Linus Torvalds and Alex Cox are on their way. They're flying over to Japan, and the plane falls out of the sky, and they both die. So what do you do?
What do I do?
Cliff, that would be besides mourning that. What would you do?
Besides mourning the two, what do you do?
Okay, from the standpoint of being a Linux company and a member of the Linux community, we bond together and continue to have development produce a unified kernel. I think that's the most important thing that those two are doing, and there may have to be some procedure to help decide who is a new leader, whether it's one person or a group of people. I think that would be essential. But there's so much momentum behind the Linux development and the community that it just has to go forward.
Great, thanks. I take it there's no follow-up since the person is sat down. The gentleman back there.
Yes, this is for Caldera. Linux is protected by the GPL, which means that it's free software and can be used and reused by others. If Caldera became aware that Linux had been stolen, i.e. someone had taken the GPL code and brought it into their own proprietary product and then resold that without also making that a GPL product, what would Caldera do?
Okay, let me just rephrase the question because I'm not sure I heard it clearly. If someone were to take the GPL software and try to make it proprietary, what would Caldera Systems do?
Exactly.
Well, I think we would band together with other providers to protect the GPL. I think it's critical and a critical component of what we do, as well as other open source licenses like QPL and others. I think the key here is that we would need to band and pool to strive to protect the license and ensure that people are trying to abide by its terms. I think that's key. All of us have built a business on the fact that we are collaborating together, and I think it's important that we continue to do so.
Okay, thank you, sir. Last question, gentleman at the back, Mike. I'm sorry for the other folks. If you want to come up afterwards and speak with the vendors, please do. Sir.
This is for Robert Bruce of Walnut Creek Archive. FreeBSD was around before Linux, and at one point it was becoming more popular. Then Linux wound up becoming as popular as it is now. I've heard three answers as to why that is. There's the community answer that Linus gave. There is the question of BSD versus GPL, and there's also some people say it had to do with a lawsuit at the wrong time. What's your feeling?
Well, I disagree with the first reason. I don't think that there was really that much of a community difference. I think that there's just as much of a community around FreeBSD as there is around Linux, or around Linux. The other two reasons I think had quite a bit to do with it. The lawsuit, the AT&T lawsuit, came at a very critical juncture, and actually we were not able to ship our product for a year. I think that was covered pretty well in the history of Linux class or history of Linux seminar earlier. But I think that there's, and I don't think the BSD versus the GPL really damaged it either, although that did make it so that BSD is used more behind the scenes rather than openly, because people don't have to disclose the source code. But I think another reason for it is that there's just a single person that represents Linux, you know, and Linus is a very good rallying point, you know, for not just the technical development but also the marketing push. I mean, he's a very visible face for Linux, and FreeBSD to some extent lacks that.
I'd like to apply for that job, Robert, if it's open, if there are stock options involved. We're very close to the end. I've asked our panel of three questioners here to give us some brief summation of what they thought were some key issues that came out of that. Nick, I'll start with you. Why don't you give us about a minute on your thoughts here?
I'd like to wrap up with some advice for our panel here and anyone else. It comes from the fact that I believe Red Hat should have been here today. It was that they should have been obliged to come here. But I can also sympathize with their motivation for not wanting to produce any more friction between the distributions, and that's where my advice comes from. The open source, the outcome of the open source revolution is not fixed, and I think we need to keep that in mind as people become more intoxicated with the tremendous success that Linux has enjoyed. I still hear, when I talk to venture capitalists, for example, the word proprietary over and over again, that's the value that they see in a company. So I would just advise you to keep in mind that we're still in the cooperation phase of coopetition, and perhaps the competition phase almost has to come later until once the outcome of open source has proven itself.
Thank you, Nick. April.
Well, actually, I'm going to follow up, I guess, a little bit on Nick's remarks in that, you know, clearly all of these vendors here are committed to open source and Linux. And I think I noted to varying degrees that they're all in some ways experimenting with trying to continue that commitment while also developing viable long-term businesses. And, you know, again, I know that one of them had used that word coopetition, and you know, I think it's going to require a careful balance between, you know, financial interests and, you know, that sort of collegial spirit that, you know, you want to further Linux, you know, as an operating system. So that's all I have to say.
Great. Thanks, April. Bob, you have next to the final word, almost the final word.
It's encouraging that it sounds as though all the vendors represented here are staying true to the open source spirit as much as they can, given the businesses that they're in now. The other point I wanted to make is that I have a feeling if we did this event a year from now, that the panelists might not be as civil with each other as they were today, especially as companies such as SUSE and Turbo Linux start to turn it up a notch in the U.S. It seems like there's probably a pretty good battle ahead.
Great, thanks. I just want to wrap things up here. I have an invitation to a party for you, so you have to wait to hear that. But I want to thank a few people. I want to thank the Linux World folks. Natalie, thank you for giving us this showdown. Cheryl, my assistant, for doing all the signs. Gravity intervened, and that was a problem, but the signage is beautiful. Thanks for all your help with that. Thanks to Nick, April, and Bob for their questions and all the time spent preparing for that. And a special thanks to Ransom, Stefan, Cliff, Brian, and Robert, as well as the support folks at their companies who helped them prepare for this. I have to tell you, it's very difficult. I don't know this because I never have to answer any of the questions. It's very difficult to get up here and face questions like that in front of an audience, and we really appreciate your candor and all the work that was involved in preparing for this. I hope when you are making a product choice, you'll remember which vendors were willing to get up here and answer these tough questions in front of an audience. I'd also like to thank all of you for staying as long as you have. So how about a round of applause, and then I'm going to invite you to a party. A round of applause for everyone, please.